Out of the way, brother.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to introduce to you Tim and Leandra Hawes, and we thank you very much for the contact that we've had with them over the past month or so, I think, Tim. We first met Tim and Leandra at Steve's Bock as the Mayos were driving them around the Blue Mountains here. And since that time, I've been out door knocking, as we've mentioned a couple of times, with Tim. Tim and Leandra are both linguists, and so we're looking forward to the time when you can come back in years ahead and say, it's done. We've got the Bible or the New Testament. Probably, you're working on the New Testament mainly?
Yes, will be.
Will be. So we've got the New Testament complete. That'll be quite a few years ahead. So they're in the village of Segifa that we've heard through Bill and Laurie Smith, that there's been some salvation decisions there this year already. So we praise God for what he's doing there in that village. And the little one's due very soon. So we praise God with you for that little one that's coming. God bless you, Tim, as you bring the word of God with us. Tim and Leandra from the States. They're with ABWE, the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, to PNG. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Good evening. It's a great blessing and honor for Leandra and I to be with you. And it's been a great blessing again to know your pastor and spend time with Pastor Rebilliard door knocking. And it's been a great blessing and encouragement to my heart. So thank you, Pastor Rebilliard. It's been a great blessing and encouragement to me. And Leandra and I are missionaries in Papua New Guinea. As was stated, we're here for the birth of our first child. And so exciting times. The baby's due in just 10 days. So thank you for your prayers for that. And we'll be staying, we're actually staying in Steve and Sue Mayo's house. So we'll be staying there until they return the very end of January, and then we'll be returning back to Papua New Guinea. And there in Papua New Guinea, we've been working with Bill and Laurie Smith. I got to know the Smiths when I did my internship with them back in 2012 and 2013. I was there for 5 months, did my internship with them. Then I returned back to the States, returned back to there to raise my support and return full-time. And then I met Leandra. Well, I didn't exactly meet her. I actually heard about her at first. And she was also a single missionary headed to Papua New Guinea. And she has a similar background with training in linguistics. And it's amazing how the Lord brought our lives together. And both of us were headed to Papua New Guinea. But one thing was, I had just started my support raising, and Leandra had already been traveling for about a year and a half. So when the Lord brought our lives together, not only did I get a wife, but I also got 20 supporting churches. And it's amazing how the Lord just brought our lives together. But very blessed to be serving there in Papua New Guinea. We've been there now for about 6 months, so just past the 6 month mark, and here now. But the Lord is so faithful. As you serve God, God is faithful each and every step of the way. And the things we're doing there in Papua New Guinea is church planting, then teaching there at the Bible school, training some of the men for Bible translation work, then also helping the people with their gardens and their agriculture. So those three things. Take the word of God with me and turn to the book of Joshua, as our scripture reading was tonight. The book of Joshua and Joshua chapter 1. And a well-known passage of scripture, but many times the Lord has encouraged my heart through this passage of scripture, Joshua chapter 1. But before we read, let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the blessing of being with your people tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your goodness, for being our God and our King. Lord, we do love you, and I pray, Lord, as we look into your word tonight, that you would speak through me, Lord. Father, I need you, and I just pray that I would honor you in all that I say. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, we do thank you for your word, which liveth and abideth forever. Lord, you are our God, and we just commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So Joshua chapter 1, and beginning in verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So the background, Moses had been leading the children of Israel. Moses had brought the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. They're just getting ready to go into the promised land. And Moses has had this great task of leading the children of Israel. And the Lord has used Moses in a great way. Moses has been the servant of the Lord. Joshua has been there kind of learning underneath Moses. But now the time has come. Moses has died. Moses is no longer there. It's Joshua's chance. It's Joshua's responsibility now to lead the children of Israel. And one thing you find about the life of Joshua, Moses, as he went in and out before the people, he was there. But it says that Joshua abode in the tabernacle. Many, many times Joshua was there in the presence of the Lord, learning from God. Joshua was a man that knew God. And when Moses died and the Lord looked for someone to lead his people, the Lord chose Joshua. And here in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord is giving Joshua, you might say, a charge or just a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation. The Lord is speaking to Joshua as Joshua now is taking the leadership of the children of Israel. It's a great task, far beyond Joshua's strength, far beyond his power, his ability. But the Lord is faithful. And that's what the Lord here is reminding Joshua. The Lord is reminding Joshua that it's not Joshua's strength. It's not Joshua's ability, but it's the Lord's power. It's the Lord's strength in Joshua. And I believe Joshua knew that from the many hours, many days that he spent there in the tabernacle in the presence of the Lord. And he saw that in the life of Moses. He saw that it was God's power. And so we see here in verse number 8, the first thing I want us to see here is found in verse number 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." The first thing the Lord told Joshua was that he must love his word. He must love the word of God. The word of the Lord, Joshua must love it. Must be Joshua's meditation. Joshua must think about it, meditate upon it, fill his heart and mind with it. Fill his heart and mind with the word of the Lord. And I believe Joshua had started out this way, but it's one of those things we always need reminded of in our Christian life, that we need to fill our hearts and our minds with the word of the Lord. It has to be our meditation, our dwelling. Psalm chapter 42, David here in verses 1 and 2, discussed his heart for God, his desire to know God, his passion for God. It says, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That was the psalmist's heart for God. As the deer pants after the water brook, so the psalmist here said, my heart pants after God. He had a desire to know God. That heart, that desire. And that was the heart and desire Joshua was to have. That is the heart and desire that you and I must have for God, for His Word, to truly desire it, to seek to know it. David said elsewhere in the Psalms that he meditated on God's Word day and night. He said that when he woke up in the night, it was his meditation in the night. If you wake up in the night, whatever your mind goes to when you wake up in the middle of the night, that's what is heavy on your heart and mind. If you're going through some trial, some affliction, some struggle, you wake up in the middle of the night, that's what you think about, whatever's heavy on your heart. But if we fill our hearts and our minds with God's Word, isn't that a wonderful thing if we can wake up in the middle of the night and that's what our mind goes to? The passage of Scripture we are meditating upon, or what we are reading, or what we are thinking about in the ways of the Lord. Joshua was told to love the Word of God. Psalm 119, 9 through 11, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to your word." It's God's word that keeps us clean. It's God's word that keeps us pure. I've noticed in my own Christian life, sometimes it's not something from the word of God that it's not that I haven't heard it before. It's that I've forgotten it. Or it's not fresh in my heart and mind. But as we fill our hearts and minds with God's Word, it continually cleanses us, purifies us, keeps us clean and pure as we serve the Lord. God's Word is what is quick and powerful, able to keep us close and clean and pure before the Lord. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Continually, Joshua was to meditate upon the word of the Lord, to have that true love for God, for His Word, for His people. Remember when I was in Papua New Guinea, when I was there doing my practical, my internship, I was there in one of the places called Karawagi, and when we got there to the church that morning, I was there probably about half an hour before the service, and I was talking to one of the men there, and he said, "Tim," he said, "there's somebody you're going to have to meet here this morning." And he said, "It's an elderly lady here in the church, but someone you have to meet." And so I came out, and I met the lady. Very elderly. As I met her, she had just had difficulty walking. I mean, just she was outside the church, but just to come from outside the church to inside the church. And so I just had a short conversation with her, and the man that introduced me to her said, "Tim, ask her where she's from." And so, I mean, I figured she was from right there. And so I asked her, and she said, "Oh, no." She said, "Look way over there. See that mountain way off in the distance?" She said, "That's where I live." And I was thinking to myself, how did she get here to church? How can she live over there and come here to church? So I asked her. And she said, "Well," she said, "I got up at 6 o'clock this morning and started walking." Can you imagine that? 6 o'clock that morning, she got up and started walking so she could be to church by 9 o'clock. And I looked there, she could hardly walk from outside the church to inside the church. But she loved the word of the Lord. She wanted to hear God's word. She wanted to be with God's people. She had that heart, that desire for God. And that really spoke to my heart. That really challenged me. Because so often we have God's word so readily available to us. If we want to read God's word, if we want God's word, if we want to meet with God's people, truly it's easy for us. It's readily available to us. It's not a hardship for us. But for that lady, it was a hardship, but she wanted to be there. That true love for God, for His word. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." The Lord told Joshua that if he thought upon God's word, if he meditated upon it day and night, how much of God's word does it say he'll do? It says, do according to what? To all that is written therein. If we fill our hearts and minds with it, will we have God's word in our heart and mind? We'll be able to be faithful to the Lord. But if we don't have God's word, there's no way we can do all that is written therein. We have to fill our hearts and our minds, meditate upon God, meditate upon His word. Turn to 1 Kings and chapter 2. 1 Kings and chapter 2. As David here was giving a charge to Solomon, as Solomon was about to take over the leadership of the people, 1 Kings chapter 2. And verse number 1, it says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, and His judgments, and His testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue His word which He spake concerning me, saying, Thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, and with all their soul. There shall not fail thee, said He, a man on the throne of Israel." These words are very similar to the words that the Lord gave Joshua as a charge. But notice there, when David said in verse 3, "And to keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments and His testimonies." To keep all the word of the Lord. To obey God with all the heart. In our Christian lives, it's not just we're a Christian and that's it. But it's serving God with all our heart. All of it. You'll find that word, just that short little word, all. But you'll find that different times throughout the Bible. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. That's the difference in the Christian life. Does God have all of us? Do we love God with all of our heart? And we must love the word of the Lord. Obey all of God's word. It's not just picking and choosing. I like this part of the word of God, or I like this part, or I'll follow this part, but I won't do that part. Does God have all of us? Do we follow all of God's word? Wholeheartedly serving God, obeying God. The last part of verse 8, it says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's blessings to following God. There's blessings to reading God's word, to serving God. But the blessings in the Christian life always come after us seeking the Lord. Remember in the life of Jacob, when he wrestled there, right before he crossed over the brook to meet Esau, he wrestled there with the Lord. The blessing there, first, he didn't let go of God. He sought God with all of his heart. And then what happened? The Lord gave Jacob a blessing. But the seeking God always precedes God's blessing. Being faithful to the Lord, spending time in his word, meditating therein. How much time do you spend in the Word of God? How much time do you spend meditating therein? When I was in Bible college, a man came through, and I wish I could remember his name. I cannot remember his name, but he spoke in a chapel, and it wasn't a well-known man, but as he spoke to us, he challenged us as Bible college students. He said, I challenge you to spend a lot of time in the Word of God. He said, I challenge you. You don't have to do it always, but he said, just one time, try to read through God's Word in 90 days. He said, just once, try to do that. And I don't remember anything else about his message, but I remembered that, what he said. Try to read through God's Word in 90 days. And he said, in my life, that was a great blessing and a great help to me. And so it wasn't then, but it was after that. I never forgot when he said that. And after that, I was still in Bible college, and busy, busy, busy. So much to do. A lot of ministries. Lots of schoolwork. I was taking a lot of extra classes. But I remembered what he said. I couldn't escape it. It was always there. And I thought, you know, I really should do that. So I did. I made the time that semester, that year, and I was able to read through it in 90 days. And when I did that, I couldn't believe all that the Lord taught me. I'd read through the Bible many times within a year, but that just that time, every day, reading through God's Word quickly. And the thing that stood out to me the most during that time was the unity in the Word of God. The unity in the Word of God. It was just incredible, just the harmony you could see from Genesis through Revelation as you went through it so quickly. And whoever that fellow is, I can't remember his name, but I'm so thankful to him for that challenge. Because that made such an impact upon my life. But we must love the Word of God. The time that we spend in God's Word, God will bless that time. That's what the Lord told Joshua. And it's so important in our hearts and our lives. Do we really love the Word of God? We have it so readily available, but do we truly love it? In verse number 9, the second thing I want us to see is to be courageous for the Word of God. So the first thing was love the Word of God. Second thing, be courageous for the Word of God. It says in verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. There is going to be times for Joshua in his ministry. Certainly he would have had opportunity to be dismayed, to be afraid. As he went in, as they conquered the promised land, every battle he fought, he would have had an opportunity to be afraid. But God told him to be of good courage. Why? Because God was with him. As Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? As believers, we have God on our side. We don't have to fear those things that are outside of our power, outside of our control, because nothing happens to us that hasn't first passed through the hand of God. Nothing is outside of the hand of God. It might be outside of our control, it might be outside of our hands, but it's not outside of the hand and power of God. And as Joshua led the children of Israel, the Lord was there with him to strengthen him, to encourage him. 1 Chronicles in chapter 28. Once again, the life of Solomon here. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And I want to see the similar words here once again. Chapter 28 and verse number 20. David once again giving a charge to Solomon. But listen to this. Chapter 28 and verse number 20. And David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and of a good courage. Do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." And right here, specifically, David was instructing Solomon as he was to build a temple. It had been in David's heart to build a temple. But the Lord said that David was not to build it. He was to prepare it. He was to get everything ready. But Solomon, his son, was to build it. But as he charged Solomon here, he told him to be strong, good courage, fear not to be dismayed. Why? Because God would be with him. The Lord would strengthen him. That's our confidence in the Christian life. It's the Lord. God is our confidence. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our encouragement. As we live the Christian life, it is the Lord that gives us the strength and the power to do it. I remember being with Bill and Lori at their church plant in La Silo, and there was a fellow there. He was not a believer. He did not yet know the Lord. And there in Papua New Guinea, the witchcraft, the sorcery, has such a stronghold in the people's hearts and lives. And this man was not a believer, and his daughter was very, very sick. And whenever someone's sick there, they always go to who? The witch doctor. It's sorcery, it's witchcraft. And he was unsaved, but he knew, he'd heard enough of the gospel and enough of God's word to know that he should trust the Lord. And I was there, and I heard him talking to Lori. He said, "Lori, my daughter's going to die." And he said, "I really, really, really want to take her to the witch doctor. What should I do?" And Lori said, "No." She said, "Trust the Lord. We'll pray. We'll do all we can to help your daughter, treat her medically. I think she'll be okay." But he said, "I just can't do it. I can't. I've got to take her to the witch doctor. She's going to die. I have to take her to the witch doctor." And you could just see in this man's heart, it was just torn because he knew enough of the word of God that he should trust God. Still not a believer yet. But he knew the reality of standing up to saying no to the village, to taking his daughter to the witch doctor. I still remember that struggle, seeing that in his heart and life. Where Leandro was originally going to work there in Papua New Guinea, there was a pastor. Someone, a relative of his, got sick. Same scenario came up. In the church, now this is believers this time, and the people there said, "This person's going to die. You have to take him to the witch doctor." The pastor said, "No, we have to trust God." Half of the people in the church said, "We've got to take this person to the witch doctor. Your relatives are sick or they're going to die." Can you see the struggle there for the people in Papua New Guinea as they say yes to following the Lord? But the opposition they face with all the sorcery, the witchcraft, has such a strong hold in their hearts and their minds, their lives. The spiritual battle is so strong. But who can give them the courage? God can. Just as the Lord promised to be with Joshua, God will be with his people. How do we need courage in our lives? We need courage each and every day to share God's word, to share the gospel, to stand strong for God. If there's ever a time we, as God's people, need to stand, it's now. It's today. Because if we don't stand boldly, if we don't stand courageously for God today, when will we stand for God? Now is the time where we must stand for God, stand for his word, stand courageously for what is true. I remember as a young man, different opportunities that I had, different places I worked, different areas of employment, different opportunities the Lord gave to stand up for his word, to be a witness. But it wasn't easy. When you're the only Christian, is it easy to stand for God? It's not easy to stand in the workplace. It's not easy to stand up and say, "I'm a Christian, this is what God says, this is what I believe." But who gives us the strength? God does. Just as the Lord was with Joshua, the Lord was with David, the Lord was with Moses, the Lord was with Solomon, so God will be with us. He promises he will never leave us nor forsake us. God gives us the strength. God gives us the courage to stand for him. Now, today, is the day to stand for the Lord, to be obedient for Him, to take a courageous stand for the Lord. Look in verse number 9. It says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan, to go and to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." The word, God gave Joshua a charge. He gave a word to Joshua. And then the Lord instructed Joshua. And then what does it say in verse number 10? Who did Joshua instruct? It says, then Joshua commanded the who? The officers. And then who did the officers instruct? The people. Do you see how that worked? God gave His word to Joshua. And then it went from Joshua to the officers, and then from the officers to the people. As we love the word of God, as we stand courageously for God, we too must share the word of God. God teaches us, God instructs us in His word, and then we must share the word of the Lord with others. God's word came to Joshua, but it didn't stop there. Joshua then shared God's word with the officers. Then the officers then shared God's word with the people. Because if we just read, study, know God's word, but then it stops right there, the Lord's work stops too. We must share God's word. God's word must go out. It must go forth with power. And there's two ways of sharing the word of God. The first way is evangelism. Sharing God's word with the lost. Sharing God's word with those who do not know Him yet. Those who do not know about God. They do not know about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know how Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. How Christ took our place upon the cross. They don't know the plan of salvation, how we might know God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Evangelism. And the second thing is through discipleship. Those that know God, we must disciple them, strengthen them, encourage them to know God more, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So those two ways to share the Word of God, evangelism and discipleship. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2, as we think about evangelism, 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2, as we seek to be a witness and a testimony for the Lord, it's God's word that works in the hearts and lives of people. It's not our word, it's not our power, it's not our might, but it's the word of God that works in the hearts and lives of people. And as the apostles came, as they ministered there to the church in Thessalonica, and they ministered the word of the Lord, they gave the word of the Lord to the believers. And as they received it, it was God's word that worked in their hearts and lives. Look in verse number 13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." What was it that worked in the hearts of the people there in Thessalonica? Was it the word of the Apostle Paul? Was it their word and what they said? No, it was God's word. It says, God's word, which works effectually also in you that believe. Remember the Bereans in the book of Acts when they got saved? They searched the scriptures diligently to see if those things were so. But it's the word of God that works in the hearts and lives of people. We share with people God's word. Our words have no power. But it's God's word that's able to convict. And God, through His Spirit, can convict and reprove and work in people's hearts and lives in ways we never can do, because it's God's word that has the power. It's not our words, it's not what we say, but God's word. And as we share the simple plan of salvation, that's why it's so important to use God's word, the scripture, as we share God's word. And that was one great blessing, just being with Pastor Abilliard on visitation, just listening to him as he shared the gospel presentation and shared God's word, because it's God's word that has the power to change hearts and lives. It's God's word that worketh effectually. As far as discipleship, as we invest in people's hearts and lives, it's not only just knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved, but it's adding to our faith and growing in the Lord. Just as it says in 2 Peter in chapter 1, it says adding to your faith, and then lists all those different things there in that passage. Lists internal things, things that happen inside of us, temperance, knowledge, patience. Then it lists external things, love, brotherly kindness, all these different things, but discipleship, seeing people grow in the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he told Timothy, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." What the Lord gave to the Apostle Paul invested in Timothy. What Timothy received of the Apostle Paul, then Timothy was to invest in the hearts and lives of others. Those men, faithful men that Timothy invested in, what were they to do? Invest in the hearts and lives of others. The Lord's work grows and goes strong for God. So we think about sharing the Word of God, evangelism, discipleship. I think recently there at Segifa, as it was mentioned, where Leandra and I are doing the church planning, the chronological Bible teaching, there's been a serious drought there in Papua New Guinea. So on this particular Saturday, we were there, we were doing a chronological Bible teaching, and we had given out rice, and the first thing we did our chronological Bible teaching, our normal lesson. Afterwards, we gave out rice to the people that came, and then after that, we'd had another gospel message. So the people got two messages that day. And the first time, there's a smaller group. Then, of course, when you give the rice, more people are going to show up. So then everybody that was there heard the last gospel presentation. And after that last gospel presentation, there was one fellow there. His name was Mello. And he'd been coming for a few weeks to the chronological Bible teaching. And when I met him, one of the first things he talked to me about was how, basically, you could summarize it as he was saying he was religious. And basically trying to, you know, just say, hey, you know, I know God, I'm religious, you know, all these things. But he still kept coming, and I really sensed in him an eagerness to learn, just a desire to know more. And it'd been about, he probably was been coming, I guess, for about 3 weeks or so. And he was there, and after the gospel presentation, the second message, he was there for the first one, the second one, he raised his hand for salvation. And I was extremely excited to see that, but I was a little bit surprised just because of our previous conversation. And afterwards, one of the Bible college students there who was helping us that day, Alfred, he got a counsel with Mello, and Mello prayed to accept Christ. Mello asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be his personal Savior, and as soon as he finished praying and being counseled, he stood up, and all the people that were standing there, he said, before, he said, I was outside. I didn't believe. He said, but now, today, by faith, I believe. He trusted Christ as his Savior. And it was amazing to me how quickly he took a bold stand for the Lord. But evangelism, we saw loving the Word of God, being courageous for the Lord, and sharing the Word of God. You could see all those things in Mello's life. And what he said after that, he said, basically he said that many of the people there that day had come to receive rice, but he said we must next time, just as many of us come, to hear the Word of God. You can see all three of those things there in Mello's life. A love for the Word of God, being courageous for the Lord, and then sharing His Word right away. And pray for Mello. Who knows, but even just as I've watched him, a young man, he has a family, wife, children, but I mean, it just, who knows how the Lord might work in his heart and life for potential there in the church plant. But pray for Mello. As we think about discipleship, as God's word goes forth, one person teaches another person who teaches another person. I met that church I mentioned up in Kirawagi with that elderly lady that walked 2 hours to be there at the message. That church saw 7 other churches planted. That one Baptist church, over however many years it had been there, saw 7 other churches planted. And it amazed me just the investment there, the discipleship. As the young men were trained, and then they go out and start another church, another church, another church. But that's how it has to go with the work of God. The gospel doesn't stop on our doorstep or with us. But we too must share it with someone else. Disciple someone else. See them grow in God's word so that they too can disciple someone else and teach someone else the Lord's word. So we saw tonight to love the word of God, be courageous for the word of God, and then also share the word of God. I want to just close with this one illustration. I met a pastor there at a conference there in Goroka, and pastor, I hadn't met him before. I just met him this one time and got to know him a little bit, and he seemed to have a real heart for God, a real love for the Lord's work, was faithful a long time in the ministry. And for whatever reason, I'm not even sure why he mentioned me, but he said, Tim, he said, I can't read my Bible anymore. And it kind of caught me by surprise. And I said, Pastor, I said, why can't you read your Bible anymore? And he said, well, he said, I've lost my reading glasses or I don't have them anymore. And for us, that's something easy to get. For the people in Papua New Guinea, they don't have access to those kind of things very easily. And he said, I just can't see the words anymore. He said, I've lost, my eyes aren't strong and I just can't read my Bible. Well, when I had brought some glasses, just all I paid for them was a dollar, just from dollar store. And I had them there in my house, so I said, Pastor, I said, come to my house. I said, got some reading glasses, just try them on, let's see if we can get a pair for you. And so he came, he tried them on, and, you know, he's trying different, you know, magnifications, one, two, three, and he's trying to see it, and finally he's got it. He said, Tim, he said, I can see it again. He said, I can read my Bible. And then he got really, really quiet, and he just started to cry. Or just tears were running down his face. He said, Tim, he said, I can read my Bible now. And all that was, it was just a dollar. But he had such a heart, such a love for the Word of God. May we in our Christian lives have that same love, that same desire to know God and to love His Word.